Today's daf in Masechet Bechorot, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Lamed Hey. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah near the top. We've been discussing the dinim of mumim. We've already seen that if a mum was made on purpose, we had yesterday, that there's a knas, either that it can never be shechted or that it can't be shechted on that mum. But what about where a mum appears before us? We have no idea whether somebody made it. Furthermore, when we talk about making a mum on purpose, how much is considered to be on purpose? So there was actually a ma'aseh once b'zachar shirchelim. There was a bechor, child of sheep, and it had gotten very old because they had never got a mum in it. What were they supposed to do? There was a zakin. It had so much wool on it that the wool was simply hanging down loose, aromadutal, because they could never do the giza. And this was an extremely strange sight. And a non-Jewish kazdor, a policeman, walked by. He says, "What the heck is that?" Mati Voshozet. Omrulo, so they said, "Well, that's a problem animal that we've got. It's a bechor, and we're not allowed to do anything with it. We can't shecht it unless it has a mum." So he takes out his knife, he slices its ear, he says, "There you go. Natal pigum, vitsaram ozno, uba ma'asel lefnei chachamim v'itiro." The chachamim said that that is not considered to be making a mum on purpose, and because of that, it was mutter. So then the guy set up a service, you know, he would walk around. At that point, he actually intended to be matir. So where the intent was to be matir, then they assert anything that he did. So Rashi learns the only reason that they were matir, the original one, is that he was not even mechaven to be matir that one. When he said, "There you go," he was playing with them, essentially. He had no kavanah to be matir. He thought that it needed to get him up. So he said, "Hey, you bunch of idiots, I'll give you a hand." You know, as if to say, "Yeah, why do you make it such a big deal about this silly thing?" You know, but Lamaise, he didn't think he was going to be matirit. So had his kavanah initially been to be matirit, then even though it was not the das of the balim, that nonetheless it would have been us. For Amachat, there was another time where Hayuti Nokot Mesachaki Besadeh, where kids were playing, and they figured the best way to play is they would try the old Shipshon trick, you know. So they tied the tails of these sheep one to another. The Kashruz Navet Laim Zebeza, that sounds like a lot of fun. Now watch them fight it out. And one of the tails became detached. And it was a bechor. So there too, they were matirit because there was no intent of being matir bechor with a mum. Then the kids saw Shitiru. So then they went around. I mean, they enjoyed, you know, the nice steak dinner that everybody had. So they went around tying tails together of all the bechorot in town. So hokuvik kashrus navot bechorot achirim. And then they asked her, the klal being kosher ledato, whatever is being done with kavana to be matir al mum in order that it should be mutter, it's us. But if it just happened, shaloladato, then it's mutter. Okay, so you're saying that the case was pa'amachat, and then you say pa'amachaminet. It's the same story, no? You're bringing me the illustration of the zaklal, basically. I don't know what the zaklal is adding. Obviously, we're gonna have to ask that later. But why do I need two stories that are essentially the same? We need both stories because yes, we know Vitko Chavi. Let's say that we only would have heard the story of the Goy. I would say, okay, the Chachomim did not have a chashash that if they're matrit, al yedei the Vitko Chavi, so then he's going to become a person who does isurim. There's no isurim for a Goy. I mean, so what's the question of ruining his future? It's not osil misra. A child, if you let a child do something that's osir, and he sees that it's good, it's not good for him. And he'll come to me, make him, be serum, and so on. But the goy, lo atil misrach. A kotan, dosil misrach, maybe, in achinami. We would never have been matter such a thing, emalo. And let's say we would have had the case of the katan, yashmin and katan. I would say, okay, that's because nobody would see that as having been done with intent. They see kids playing, they understand that kids playing are essentially an accident of life. So it might as well have been, you know, a force of nature. So they're not going to come to be machlif that with a godol who does it for a different intent. If you see an ovikichobi, he lomaisa set out to make a move. So, and people are not going to make such a subtle distinction. Yeah, but he wasn't really thinking that it's going to be, he had no idea. And that already is too easy to be atilich lufi begadol. And then they'll come to be matir, even a gadol Yisrael, who actually did know what he was doing. So, emalot. Therefore, we need both cases. Omer Chista Omer of Katina, Loshana de Omar Le Ela Imken Hayaba Mum. Note the language. The Kasdor says, what the heck is that? And they tell him, oh, we wouldn't have been able to shecht that unless it had a mum. But if they had used the word, unless a mum were made in it, so then that would already be hinting. So then it would be awesome. If they had said the words im na'aseh b'mum, that would be the same as saying, go ahead, make a mum. Come on, diyonu ezil ovid be'mum adami. Omar Rava says, Rava, look, Lamaisa, if the entire case is built around the understanding that there was no intent on the part of the Yaakov to be matir, the question of whether the owner maybe said it this way or that way is completely irrelevant. Lamaisa, had there been an actual intent on the part of the guy, it wouldn't have mattered what he said either. Right? Say the guy said, oh, I know if I put a mum in, it'll be okay, so I'll do it. That would have been awesome. So the only point over here is what it was that the Akram was intending to do, not what it is that you said. And the issue is not whether the Balaam is viewed as having gotten too close to make this happen. Where do you ever see that? The Mishnah's not interested in that. The Mishnah's interested in one thing and one thing only. Zachlal. What was the intent of the person who made the moon? And that's it. And therefore, just as you understand that it wouldn't have made any difference even if the Balaam had no intention, but the Akram had intention, it would have been usher, so too the other way around. Even if the Balaam had said it wrongly, but the Goy had no intent, it's mutter. And therefore it makes no difference. Let's see that inside. Look, the whole point over here is that the act was an act of memeil, that he didn't know that he was going to be matir, right? So then, if that's the case, mali haya, mali Elohim ke naasa, the point is, what happened? So since, even if he had said the word, if someone would make, or if a mum was made, but lamaisa, what the Akum did was memeila, it would have been mut. So naasa nami, the bottom line is the act was memeila, and therefore loshna. And what exactly do you add with the Zaklal? Zaklal kol shu'la dat. That's what you mean, kol shu'la dat. No, that's coming to include the case of the groma, like we had the case where you would stick something tasty on the ozer of the chor, hoping that the dog would come and chew it off, and meanwhile make a little tzorim ozer of the chor. And what's the Zaklal kol shu'la dat? Kol shu'la dat is even in a case where a guy is mesiach fitumo. Look, there's certainly something that stands out in the case of the Mishnah, and that is the Kasdor asked. So since the Kasdor asked, so they answered. I mean, over there you can't be chayshish that I was setting it up. But if a guy's walking down the street and he's talking to his goyish friend, he's saying, oh man, this bechor business for Jews, it ain't easy being a Jew. Let me tell you. So then maybe over there, we would even go so far. Just like in the machlokas of Rav Chista with Rava. Over there, maybe everybody would agree. If you start it, so then for sure it's considered to be something that the Chachomim would have asked. Kamash malan zeaklal. If it's shalolodat, then if it's beisiyah vitumo, you were just talking, you didn't intend here to be gorim something, that it's also considered to be mutter. The next tale of the Mishnah, of course, continues the same idea. What is considered to be an intent? So here we've got a ram who's coming down at you with his horns, and he's chasing you. He's chasing you through the street. You could just see the typical comic situation where he's got his rear end up front because he's worried that he's going to get those butt in his butt. And all of a sudden, he's fed up with this ram, turns around, and gives it a nice kick, and makes a mum. So I have a chor wrote for Ba'atova Sabo Mum. That is not considered to be an act of making a mum. So, I mean, this, of course, is taking it yet to a greater height. I had full intention of doing what I'm doing. I'm just trying to get out of there. So in that case, it's not considered to have been caused by you, and Areza Shochatim Alav. Omre Papa, but this is only if you're kicking him while he's chasing you. But if he finishes chasing you and you're furious at him, you give him a kick in the butt. So over there, La'achar Adifa, that's considered to be intent to injure, and it's as if you went ahead to create the moon. Well, I mean, isn't that Pshita? No, it's not. Because, look, the question of whether your intent when you're trying to protect yourself, or your intent when you're furious, is basically a psychological reaction. It's an instinctive reaction. So what's the difference if the instinctive reaction is I'm trying to kick him because I'm trying to get him off of my rear, or I'm kicking him because I'm furious at him? It's the same. It's not for what's going to come of it. That's the intent. The intent is for my reaction to be expressed. So ma'odetema, I might have thought that, look, it's not that you're trying to make a mum. You're just furious. So tsa'areyudim kamitkar, you're remembering what an idiot you look like running through Main Street with this ram coming at you and you looking like a fool. And you're angry at him. So you want to give him a good kick in the rear. So kamash malan, that nonetheless, since this is much more cold-blooded, and we can view it as an attack, it's much more as if you wanted to make a mum. Whereas others say that actually Rav Papa said exactly the opposite. Rav Papa said, don't think that the Mishnah is referring to, necessarily, the act of saving yourself from this ram that's chasing you to give you a butt. That's not the point. The point is that what you were doing was clearly an emotional, almost instinctive reaction. That's the point. And therefore, we don't view it as b'meila. Therefore, says Rav Papa, this version, don't think that the Mishnah was only saying, if you kick it to get it off of you, then it's dafka b'shat redifa, then it's not considered to be made a mum. But if you went ahead and you're angry at it, you give it a kick, shalom b'shat redifa, because you're so furious, that then, lo, then you would say, no, well, listen, I mean, that you didn't have to do. That's not the point. The point is the emotional response. And therefore, afilu le'acha redifa nami, even if later on you came and gave it a kick, also it's considered not to be purposeful to make a mum. My time at Sari Utikamitkar is remembering what it was that this animal did to him. Amrav Yehuda, mutar la'atil mum bebechor kodim sheyetzei la'avir ha'olam. This din of the iser of making a mum is dafka when there was already the kedusha of a bechor. But if you want to make a mum in utero, there's no kedusha on the bechor. That would be similar to putting a mum in your flock and then taking off maaser. You put a mum in all your animals, you take off the maaser, and now the maaser has a mum. So there's no iser in putting a mum in all your animals. So to here, there's no iser in putting a mum in a bechor. By the way, there before it's born, there are shitot among the rishonim that claim that this is only, and this is based on the Gemara and Erechim, which we're going to have later, this is only where it's not going to be Gurim Ehefse Hegdash. If it's going to be Gurim Ehefse Hegdash, that was Bisman, Beit HaMikdash. This is how the Rambam actually says the Farish when he brings this. That if Gurim Ehefse Hegdash is another issue, it's not an Isser of Matamun Bukhor, but it is an issue of being Mafsa the Mizbeah. An animal that's aimed for the Mizbeah, you don't do something to prevent it from being on the Mizbeah. Okay, so therefore I wouldn't have said the word Mutter. Mutter means there's no Chashash Isser. But there's certainly no Din of Atolas Mum b'Bechor before the Kedusha of the Bechor was Chal. And so before it's born, these were the earliest in utero operations, which you'd figure the Jews would figure out if it's going to get you out of the problem of Bechor, how to do that. Right?
This is not a case of when it sticks to the body part of it. I mean, this is not a case where a body part comes out and then comes back.
It actually, to some extent, it is, but not quite. In other words, what it refers to, as we're about to see, what it refers to is where there are parts that have already, at least they've gotten out of the cervix. It's not really in utero, but the animal's not yet born. So it's not that it stuck out and went back in. It's that it's in the process of being born. So as it's being born, you know, your matel amum, as we'll see, that the ears come out before the head. So you scrape the ear in such a way that the cartilage is damaged. You know, that's an easy nothing to do. So, and that's what Rava gives an eitzah. For Amar Rava, well, if we're talking about a goat has got long ears. So a gadya bu'udne, because the ears can actually come out before the head comes out. The ears stick out. Because of that, it's easy to put a mum in the oznai. But the sheep have short ears, and if the ear was out, it would mean that the head was already out. If the head was already out, it would have been a yolod. So that you couldn't do, but if it were a sheep, what you do is, its mouth is four stuffers. So over there, you slit its lip, and it's also considered to be a mum. So if it's an emur, then the idea over there is bisvate, you would put it in its list. Whereas others say that Rava said, look, in a case where you're getting the ears out of a sheep, obviously it's a type of breech delivery, so there too it would be okay, because, I mean, clearly you see the head's not out, and you could be shemech, but it was derech tzda'av nafak, it was coming out with its head bent forward, instead of the proper way, which was its mouth would be forced out usually. Omar Rava, how about a mum in the lips, which normally, while the animal, let's say, is chewing, You cannot see that part of the lip. It would be inside the mouth. But when it's making a lot of noise and it's got its mouth wide open and it's buying, then you could see it. So, but it's making noise and then it's got its mouth wide open, and then you could see it. That is considered to be a mum. We're going to see later. All the mumin have to be mumin shibigalui. If it's some part of the body that is not visible, that's not considered to be a mum. But since over here, it would be part of its normal behavior to open its mouth wide when it's being pie. That's considered to be a mum. That's the Gemara. I need Rava to tell me this? I mean, it's a fairish braita. Maika mashman tanina. Hachutina chitzonot. The outside teeth, which over there, they're very visible every time it's, you know, just opening its mouth to chew something. You always see those teeth. So the chutina chitzonot, they're very visible, and therefore anything that was done to them, if they were nivgimu, so they were missing a little piece of the tooth, got cracked off. Or for that matter, even if they were nigmumu, even if they were cut through, even though there's nothing missing, but they're slit, cracked, the teeth. That's considered to be a mum. Or a molar, which you don't usually see. And as a matter of fact, even when its mouth is wide open, you wouldn't notice if it were missing a little piece of tooth. But if that molar was completely torn out, so it was necru, then you would certainly notice that it's missing. That is considered to be a mum. Now, I mean, forget about Rava. You read that braita, you tell me what you think that's saying. Why in the world is a molar all the way inside the mouth that you don't see when it's eating? Why is that a mum? I'll tell you why. Lav mishum dechipai mifsei. Because if the animal was sitting there upset about something, making a lot of noise, it would have its mouth open, and you would notice that missing molar. So I don't understand what I need Rava for. Amrav Papa, that's all that Rava was coming to point out. Rava wasn't coming to tell you a chiddush. Rava was coming to explain the braita. That's all. Rava nami taima the matnita mefarish. He's saying, what must we conclude from this braita? My time, that a molar that was nekru would be a mum. I want to explain to you, it's mishum dechipoy michse, because it would be visible. You can never ask on someone who's giving a pirish, what do I need him to give the pirish for? I mean, it's something that you may not have noticed. And now we're just in time to hear those wonderful words from our favorite president.
Dr. Helika Mishnah.
Kol ha-mumin ha-ru'uyin la-vobide adam. Any type of mum, which might have been caused through human interference. Obviously, there are mumin that could not have been caused by human interference. They're congenital mumin. If it's got an extra leg, it'd be very difficult to figure how you could do that or other internal pogamim, as we'll see. There's no way that that could have been caused. But the normal mumin, you have something broken, you have the tsorei mozen and the sfatayim, any of those things could have been done through human agency. So now we have a very important reason to be chayshet, the person who's bringing the mumin. Because what? Now here's the question. Some learn, because bizman hazeh, since there's nothing that the Kohen can do with the Bukhar, because he can't bring it as a carbon, unless it has a mum, you're talking about years of misery. I'm going to have this thing lying around for years in my house, feeding it, caring for it. That is mighty strong reason for me to be mekel and figure out how to make sure it gets a mum. But sometime, bisman the besam mekdash, why would I be chayshin a kohen for baking a mum? I mean, if he brings it as a carbon, he also gets to eat it. Elamai has to give away the emurim. No. For the emurim is going to be over an issue of the arise. It's not strong enough reason to be melamed heter, but mere heter for yourself. What's the rationalization? So therefore, there are some who taina that this entire sugya is meant for bisman she'en beit hamikdash kayam. Where over there, there's very, very great incentive to make sure that it gets a mum. But however we learn with that machloket, bisman has there for sure, according to some, at any time. If a person could have made that mum, and he comes now in front of us and claims either this mum happened by itself, or he adds even, and I've had it already checked out by a mumcha, and it's definitely a mum. Question is, normally, of course, somebody gives you a sandwich of meat to eat and says, listen, I had this checked out, it was kosher meat, it had a good hasher. You have every right to rely on that person. That should be the case here. Somebody says, there's a mum, and I had it checked out, it was kosher mum. Everybody is allowed to eat this now. It's no isser in it, it's not a korban. You ought to be allowed. However, because of the fact that we have found Kohanim specifically not to be trustworthy in this, and as we explained, there's very good reason for that. So then it depends whether the person coming in front of us is a Kohen or not. Ro'e Yisrael Ne'emanim. Now, of course, the word Ro'e Yisrael, a little bit unclear. Does Ro'e Yisrael mean Ro'im working for Yisrael or Ro'im who are Yisrael, even if they're working for Kohen? This we're going to see, there's two interpretations. So Ro'im who are Yisrael or Ro'im who are working for Yisrael, perhaps, even if they're Kohanim, that's a question, are Ne'emanim. We'll see. Are Ne'emanim. But Ro'im, again, you could say Ro'e. I mean, it's very confusing. So Ro'e Kohanim would be Ro'im working for Kohanim, whereas Ro'im who are Kohanim are Einan Ne'emanim. So just to get us confused, you know, we can mix up the gears so that we have a little bit of indication of one way, a little bit of indication of the other way. Lamaisa will see that there's two approaches. The Mishnah always likes to keep us guessing. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, don't make that such a blanket statement. You may not be believed if you're a Kohen on your own, but you would be believed to be made on someone else's Bechor, where you do not have that same level of rationalization. So Ne'emanu al shel chaveiro. It's just, he's not Ne'eman al shel atzmo. Was Rabbi Meir said, no way. Hachashud al adavar. Look, if you can't trust somebody on his own thing, then you cannot trust the word he's got to say about it. Not as a judge, not as a witness, and therefore he has no business telling us anything. Now, Rabbi Meir, although we see clearly he's arguing on Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, he seems to simply be repeating what the Tanna Kamma said, and that Rabbi Gamliel came out to argue about, right? This we're going to have to clarify in the Gemara. What is new in Rabbi Meir's Shita that wasn't the same as the Shita of the Tanna Kamma with which Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had argued? But before we get to that, we're going to see that how it is we learn those words, Ro'im who are Yisrael or Ro'im of Yisrael. Depending on how we learn those words, we're going to have a different approach in understanding the Machlokas of Rabbi Meir and the Tanna Kamma. We could see why that's true. Because, of course, the way we learn those words, Ro'im of or Ro'im who are, would be a question of, are we worried about what they say for someone else or not? I mean, that's already getting involved in that sugya. You know, if I myself am Yisrael, would I lie just because I'm working for a Kohen? And vice versa. Would a Kohen lie for the guy who is a Yisrael if I learn that it means a Roa who is a Kohen is not believed? So first we have to handle that question. And the fact is that how to read the Mishnah is a machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Now we don't know who said what, but we do know that they argued. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, Chad Amar, Roe Yisrael. If the Roim are Yisrael, but they are working for Kohanim, they are Ne'emanim. So that when it says over here, Ro'e Yisrael Ne'emanim, what it means is Ro'im, who are Yisrael, are Ne'emanim, even though they're working for a Kohen. Why? Because, look, what's in it for them? If they created this mum, the only thing they're going to get out of it, maybe, is an extra steak, a lamb chop. You know, they figure, okay, so now the Kohen's going to make a party, and we'll have a barbecue, and he'll share a piece of meat. No. L'legim aloch hashin, and for a little bit of an extra steak, a little bit of a meal, for that, we're not chashish that a guy is going to be matam mum b'kachim. That's okay. But if the role is a Kohen, then, even though he's working for Yisrael, he's not Ne'eman. You know why? Because he has powerful incentive to put that mum in there. Because Meimar Amar, he thinks to himself, you know, when this Bukhar has a mum, the first thing he's going to say to himself is, my loyal Ro'e has been caring for this animal. Surely, he is the Kohen I should give it to. I mean, I have to give it to a Kohen anyway. So isn't it reasonable I should give it to my own Roe, who's a Kohen? So therefore, he's got a lot of incentive to make sure that he gets the Bechor. Because of that, we can't believe him. So Kivin de Kotorachnabe, he figures that the owner, Lo Shavak Ledidi, is not going to leave me behind and give this Bechor to somebody else. I'm going to be his first choice of a Kohen for the Bechor. So it's a question of analyzing how much incentive there is to be matel mum for the Bechor. Because of that, there's always more incentive for a Kohen than there is for a Yisrael. So it always looks like we've got a chashad, a greater chashad, if the person is the Kohen. It doesn't matter who the owner is.
So there's a problem with a Kohen who's helping with...
Yes, but that's not why I'm doing it. I really am working. That's okay. I'm working. I'm getting paid. I'm a paid Ro'e. That's not a Kohen Meseyeh, yeah? Kohen Meseyeh is where I'm doing something to ingratiate myself. Over here, this is my job. That's fine.
He's still expecting to give.
Fine. Well, we hope that he'll give me a bakshish, but I'm not taking a job for that, and he's not using it to potter himself for money that he owes me. Now, this would be true, by the way, even if it were a Kohen for another Kohen. Because when we say we don't trust Kohanim, again, the analysis is, what's the incentive? The incentive of Gomlim, in which I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine, so that when I work for a Kohen, you know, I mean, he's going to keep the poor himself. Why should he give it to me? But, you know, it's always good to know that someone may give me the favor in return to make sure my Bukhar has a mum. So because of that, we will not believe a Kohen, not for Yisrael and not for another Kohen. Comes along, according to this approach, remember, there's going to be two approaches, but according to this approach, that the reference here is, what is the identity of the ro'eh, not what is the identity of the owner. So now comes on Rav Shimon Gamliel, and he says, well, now let's not take this so far. He's ne'eman al shel chaveiro. We are not going to be chayish ad kedei kach for gomlim. If there's a chance that you get this whole bechor, mele, that's already, you're going to rationalize. But to do an iser now, because the guy's going to scratch your back and do an iser for you, no, that we're not chayshish for. Therefore, you're neman al shel chaveiro, but for your own, okay, of course you're not neman. En on neman al shel atzmo. Comes along Rabbi Meir to disagree, but lechora, only to disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel, to disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel, and to say, no, if he's chashut for himself, then you can't trust a word he says about this issue at all. Because a chashut al adavar, lo dano, velo meido, he cannot testify. That's one approach to the Mishnah, which of course leaves up in the air. We're going to have to get back to it. So what is Rabbi Meir adding that the Tanakhama didn't say? He's just repeating the Tanakhama. We'll get back to this. The other of the two, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, again, we don't know who said what, but the other approach is like this, that actually, Ro'eh Yisrael means Ro'im who are working for Yisrael. So if they're working for Yisrael, then even if they themselves are Kohanim, that's okay, because they don't have an incentive to put that mum in the Bechor. Why? Because they do not believe that they're going to be the ones that are going to be awarded this Bechor by the owner, the Yisrael. Because they figure, what, it's a Bechor, the guy's looking for a chosh of a rov to give the Bechor, the way he's going to give it to his low-class roh, it was an Amoritz. He's never going to give it to me. Lo shavik tzurbi mirabonon v'yoyiv lididi. Why would he? He's got a chance. This beautiful ceremony and everything. Probably they'll put it on wineheads. I mean, it's going to be a major thing. He's not going to give it to his roe. On the other hand, roe kohanim. If the owner is a kohen and the Yisrael is working, even if he's a Yisrael, that means the roim working for kohanim, even though they themselves are Yisrael, then they're not ne'emanim. Why? Because they always have something to gain. And it doesn't matter how much it is. Even if it's just he's going to be making a barbecue, you know, and he's going to share a nice lamb chop from the barbecue, that's enough of a reason. You know, you're looking, you're good. It's a long day. You're really hungry. You're looking at this bechor. What a waste. I mean, this is ridiculous. Here I am eating my hummus sandwiches. For God's sake. It just takes a little wrong move. Whoops. Oh, it was all an accident. And that way I get a delicious lamb chop for dinner. It's hard to resist. So therefore, we're chashina l'legima. And Kol Shekein, I mean, look, for sure, if he's a Kohen, I mean, this is true even if he's Yisrael. If he's a Kohen, he's got even more to gain. Because, I mean, then we're going to have our mutual back scratching. So over there, we're certainly Chashinan for Goyim. Kol Shekein and Kohen, L'Kohen Dolo, we do not allow a Kohen to be made that this is a kosher mum. Because there we're Chashinan L'Gomli. And, I mean, we're Chashinan across the board. I mean, there you've got Goyim too. Besides the Legima. To which Rav Shimon ben Gamliel comes along and says, well, ne'eman al shel chaveiro, ve'eino ne'eman al shel atzmo. He is believed for somebody else. He's just not believed on himself. So that means that it doesn't, which would mean that they're not chashud on a bechor that was already in the other person's rishus. They're chashud only mamish on their own. That's what they're chashud on. If it's in the other person's rishus, either the Kohen got it, or it's in the other person's rishus, the Yisraeli hasn't given it to you yet, that's not where we're chashish. We're chashish where there's really very strong reason for you to want to take care of it. Because otherwise, it's sitting on your head. comes along Rabbi Meir to say, and now Rabbi Meir makes sense, that Achashur al Adavar lo dano velo meido. Now, this way, Rabbi Meir is, in fact, he's going to be arguing on everybody. I mean, because he's saying, if you're a Kohen, there is no way that you're believed about a Bechor, even if you're working for Yisrael. And if you're a Kohen, you cannot be made to another Kohen, because we don't believe people like you. So now, look. If you're going to tell me this pshat, the Mandiano says, Ro'im that are working for Yisrael, who are Kohanim. Okay, then if that's the case, they are Ne'emanim. Fine. And if they, Rabbi Meir is arguing with Tanakhama in that case, correct? Right? Because the Tanakhama was only saying, the way to understand the word Ro'e Yisrael, it means Ro'im working for Yisrael. But they themselves may be Kohanim, so they are Ne'emanim, because they figured, what am I going to get out of it? He's going to give it to a Talmud Chacham. He's not going to give it to me. That's what you're saying. So Rabbi Meir is arguing on that. Rabbi Meir is saying, no, listen, it has nothing to do with that. We do not look at what it is you have to gain in this particular case. What we look at is whether you retain the sensitivity to this Isser. If you're a kind of person that is choshe to do this Isser, where you have a lot of reason to rationalize it, then we don't believe your response about this thing at all. Because once you've crossed that line, then there's no way that you have the same type of resistance to lying and to doing something wrong that a regular person has. So we can't trust you. Right, yeah, for good reason.
Yeah. Which is a powerful thing.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Muncie kosher is Muncie kosher. It's a serious thing. Okay, so then Rabbi Meir is obviously coming along to say, look, I disagree with you, because I hold even if you're working for a Yisrael, makes no difference. You're not believed. I disagree with Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and I say you're never Neman al Shel Chaveiro. Again, not because it has to do with Gomer. It's simply because we don't trust you. That's all. Your words in this issue are irrelevant to us. So then Rabbi Meir's coming to say a very important thing. He's arguing with everybody. He's saying this idea of looking around and trying to analyze the level of what the person may lie for is irrelevant. Okay? So then I'm a doctor of Rabbi Meir. No way. Not the Tanakhama. Not Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Achashur al Adavar. Lo dono velo meido. Zeu ze. But... yes, but remember that a normal nogea b'davar has to be nogea in this particular davar. Rabbi Meir is saying that here this is a person that would be the equivalent of a mumer on this issue. We're not going to believe him on this issue. He doesn't keep kosher. He doesn't keep the dinim of b'var. We're going to ask later on why that doesn't turn him into posulatus for anything. And that we're going to ask a little bit of Rabbi Meir. And obviously we're going to have to make a distinction between this case and the case that I just mentioned. But I'm saying, but it's in more in that category. Nogea b'davar is on a case-by-case basis. And also it has to be very strong negiyus. When it talks about him, it has to be a seine that hasn't spoken to someone in a long time. I mean, not stam that we don't allow any type of negiyut in an issue. That is not true. It's a very beautiful piece of chazanish, by the way, that has to do with that general idea, which was... He's writing it in response to the typical machloikasin, where, let's say, an Adam Gadol says, take this person as a rov, And everybody, he just wants him as a rov because, it's his Talmud, or it's his grandson, or whatever the case is. Says the Chazon Ish, the Torah never prohibited a nogea b'davar from saying something, only a seine. There's very special cases where you're puzzled. So what about the idea of it's being the equivalent of being paid off? Why don't we view it as sheikhat? I mean, obviously, emotional sheikhat should be more important than the monetary sheikhat. This is because taking into consideration the human elements is part of the hayrah itself. It's not that it influences the hayrah. It's that you have a right in terms of the dayan, mashen of reyes, you have a right because that's part of the natural situation that the hayrah is supposed to be considering. Masha'ikin, when you artificially insert a new fact, that is not part of the rod. It's amazing kiddush. It is therefore people who say, well, it's only because of this, completely missed the point. The inyan of a negiut has nothing to do with the psak. You have exactly the same responsibility to be makabel that psak as if there were no negiut.
It's not a conflict of interest.
Fantastic kiddush. No, it's not called a conflict of interest. Right.
No, no, but that's
the issue what he's claiming, itself. Is that it's not it's called not. A conflict of interest because... In the Gemara?
Yeah. On this particular thing where we don't consider it Shochan. We're not going to be okay. bothered by the fact that the guy's a good buddy. There's a connection.
Right.
Okay. Nepotism.
Is specifically it is specifically an artificial factor that's inserted. It doesn't have to be specifically money, but it's artificial. That would be natural in the situation. That's what he says. An amazing shtick. Okay, anyway. Let's... Yeah, obviously. Right. But the question is, does he have to? Okay, so in any event, we now see clearly how Rabbi Meir is important in the Mishnah. He represents a third sheet. But what about, according to the other Man Yomar, who says, Roe Kohanim, that if the Roe is a Kohen, he's not Nehman, even if he's working for the Yisrael. So then Rabbi Meir is not adding anything. That's what Rabbi Meir says. Rabbi Meir says, a Kohen is not Nehman, period. That's what the Tanakhama said. He's only arguing on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says, well, but he is Nehman for somebody else. Comes along, Rabbi Meir says, no, he's not Nehman for somebody else.
But at least the role is,
Yeah, but the Tanakhama also said that he's not Nehman for somebody else. So then Rabbi Meir is just being repetitive. So my other Rabbi Meir Lashminan, Haina Tanakhama, why doesn't that boil down to exactly what the Tanakhama said? A Kohen is not Nehman, period. So I don't understand. Says the Gemara, you're absolutely right. There is clearly a hidden issue, according to that approach. That must be the distinguishing, which is often the case. We'll find a third sheet that we need to figure out what is the assumption issue that's between the first and the second approach. So the difference would be the psak of Rabbi Yoshua ben Kafusoi. That would be the difference. Rabbi Yoshua ben Kafusoi says like this in a bright at the time. Rabbi Yoshua ben Kafusoi, Omer, a bechor who that is found in the bayit of a Kohen with Amon, tzarich shnayim minashuk la'idalav. You need two impartial people, but anybody, as long as it's not the guy himself. It could be Kohanim too. It just requires someone min hashuk, that's all, but not members of the same family. So the Tanakhama, therefore, is saying, well, you yourself cannot be made on it, but if you've got two people that are not part of this story, because the Tanakhama is talking about Ro'e Kohanim, right? They're not Neman. But that doesn't mean that Kohanim are not Nemanim. Now, that's a major difference. According to Rabbi Meir, Kohanim are not Nemanim, period. Remember that the Tanakhama had to link up this Kohen to the case, whether it's in terms of maybe getting a free sandwich out of the deal, a steak out of it. But on some level, he's linked to the case. But if it would be Minashuk, so Rabbi Yoshua ben Kafusoi says, as long as they have nothing to do with the case, and they're two witnesses, so then that would be okay. And that is why Rabbi Meir says, no, 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 no. Kohanim, forget about it, whether they're part of the case or they're not part of the case. You can never rely on Kohanim. I don't care how many Kohanim you got. You can put together as many Kohanim as you want. They are never believed. So what do you mean, two Kohanim? That's ridiculous. So Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, when you're talking about min hashuk, sir, you are exaggerating. Because remember that this is what Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said before, that the halacha is that you can be made al shel chaveiro. He's saying shel chaveiro could be the members of the family. I don't care. It's only the person himself that is choshev. And therefore, you don't need min hashuk. Afilu beno, afilu bito. Rabbi Yossi says, a kohen who is part of the family? You gotta be kidding. I don't care how many there are. Afilu asara? You gotta have 10 of them. If they are members of the household, ein me'idim alav at all. But, according to Rabbi Yossi, as long as it was somebody that wasn't part of the family, it'd be okay. Comes on Rabbi Meir to say, forget about it. No kohen is ever believed, and that's all. Now, come on, Ozlo, Adi Amr of Chist, Amr of Katina. So, who would the following psak be going according to? A Suffolk Bechor should nolad be Yisrael. Now, this is an interesting situation. Remember that the case of a Suffolk Bechor is that the Yisrael gets to keep it, because why should he give it to the Kohen? A motzi mechavero, olav haraya. But of course, he has to wait until it gets a mum, because it's a Suffolk Yisr. But the moment that it gets a mum, since a Bechor with a mum is kosher for Yisrael, so why not keep it yourself? Ah, but that puts the Yisrael into the same situation as the Kohen. So now we should have the same problem that we do with the Kohenim, not believing him. Comes along now, Rav Chista, quoting Rav Katina, to say, he would need Shnayim min Ashuk la'id ala. He would need two people to say this was a mum that just happened, he didn't do it on purpose. Who would that be like? That's exactly the psak of Rabbi Yoshua ben Kafusoi. Namely, we do not trust a person over here in terms of Edecha Ne'eman B'Yisurim. You need to have two people who are not part of this particular unit, family unit. That would be exactly because this Yisrael is basically the equivalent of a Kohen.
They must have seen the boom happen.
They had to see it happen. Rabbi Nachman Omar? Rav Nachman says that's crazy. The owner himself can say that it happened. Because if you're going to think that just because Yisrael, one time, this Yisrael happens to have a Bechor, that makes him the equivalent of those rotten Kohanim that are used to lying about Bechor, then you're going to run into a ridiculous situation. For sure, Balim have to be Ne'eman if they're Yisrael. Because if you don't say that, I ask you, what are you going to do about a case? A guy has got Maaser Behima. Maaser Behima is not allowed to eat unless it has a mum. So he's got a good reason to make a mum. Okay? According to Rebbe Meir, if someone who is koshered on something cannot be made, who is going to be made? Bring somebody from Timbuktu. Rebbe Meir says in Timbuktu, if they had a Bechor, they would have to lie, cheat, and steal to get, a Meister, they'd have to lie, cheat, and steal. And therefore, nobody is believed to say that this was a legal mum. That's what you're saying. You're saying even Yisrael would lie about a mum. But then you'd never be able to eat Maaser. You know? And that's ridiculous. Because then Maaser, the Rabbi Meir, mi me'id alav. What do you mean, mi me'id alav? And Maaser, there's no problem. Because Maaser, you could always put the mum in first. Maaser v'ana ne'eman. A person never has a problem with Maaser. Because if he wants, Iboy shali be mumim v'kulei adra, he could make his entire flock before he puts it into the deer, li'taser. He could put a mum in it. There's no iser. And so he goes around with a little 9/11, knife, Sakin yapanit, All you need to bring down the United States of America is a sakin yapanit. Amazing. So the guy takes... Yeah, made in Japan. So the guy brings a sakin yapanit and he goes through and he flicks the ozen of every one of his animals with a naftamina. They do that all the time just to make notations in the ears of the behemoths.
Branding,
yeah. So what's the big deal? So why would he have to lie and cheat and steal? So he's not a chosher at all. That's ridiculous. No, says Rav Nachman, I don't mean that case. I mean the case of a Suffolk Bechor. A Suffolk Bechor, that's already a problem. So according to Rebbe Meir, a Yisrael who's got a Suffolk Bechor, who's going to be made? No, you're telling me, Yisrael is Choshen. Oh, so Yisrael is Choshen, so I can't ask a Yisrael. So who am I going to ask? A Kohen? A Kohen for sure is Choshen. So who's going to be made exactly? So Rechi Tema, maybe you'll say, Enochinam? Maybe according to Rebbe Meir, you're stuck. Maybe according to Rebbe Meir, a Suffolk Bechor can never be eaten. So Hachinami de let le takanta. Maybe there's nothing to do. We know for a fact that Rebbe Meir is matir the eating of a Suffolk Bechor. Why? Because remember we had a machloket about what the din is of the zroa lechayayim v'keva of that Bechor. So we had in the Mishnah Tanaya Rebbe Yossi Omer koshe chalifav biat kohen patur min hamatanot. Whatever, wherever we had two, remember? And one of them was, remember the cases with the twins, or one was Bichrabah. So as long as the Kohen got one, the other one does not require taking his Rav HaChayayim Bekeva. For Rebbe Meir Mechayev, for heaven's sakes, what do you mean Rebbe Meir Mechayev? I fought according to Rebbe Meir, you can't even shecht it. So how can he be Mechayev giving the Matanah if you're going to get not even allowed to shecht it? Because you're telling me, according to Rebbe Meir, we're never going to be able to be matir. So obviously, Shema Minatayin is Rav Nachman, that the Balim are believed. It's only Kohanim that we don't trust. Kohanim because they always are faced with this issue. But Yisrael is only a rare occasion we have a Suffolk Bechor. Yisrael lo chashidei amumi. That's my point, Tainus Reb Nachman. Itma, Reb Nachman Amar, Alacha Kereb Shimon Ben Gamliel, Rava Amar, Alacha Kereb Yosef. So we paskin, Itanez, Kereb Shimon Ben Gamliel, so that we will believe, as we just said, even members of the family are fine. We trust them to go ahead and to be made. Whereas we're talking about over here in the Machlokas, where we had a Filo Asorah, where Reb Yosef said, if they're B'nai Beito, Eimei Dimalav, Rava and the paskins like Reb Yosef. Rava Paskin's like Rav Yossi. Me Amar Rava Achi, Rava said 15. Well, Amar Rava, Rava said, if the owner is standing with you, you're standing outside of the house, and this Bechor goes wandering into the house, Nichnas Shalem, and he's in perfectly good shape. 5 minutes later, he comes walking out of that house, hobbling, and something terrible happened to him when he was in the house. V'yotza chavul me'idim alav. There's no problem. You could be made that whoever was in the house can be made that there's no problem. It just happened to fall down the stairs on its way into the, out of the house. So you see that as long as the Balabait is with you, the rest of the family can be made. I thought you said, this is Rav. I thought you said Rav Paskin like Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi was the one who said nobody from this family is going to be believed ever about this thing. That's what he said Beferish before. Afiloin Asora, if they're B'nai Beito, forget about it. So how could Rav Paskin like that and still Paskin like this? No. It doesn't mean kol sheb ba'alav. It means kol ha-ba'alim, meaning the whole family of the ba'alim, are with you outside. Then whoever's in the house can be made that it happened by itself. V'lo chashina. So I want to say so with a chiddush. Either nobody's in the house. So basically you can be made. You say, I saw going to the house and nobody was in the house. They were all outside with me and it walked out with a broken leg. So obviously something happened to it. I mean, what's there to be chashin for? Maila Meimra. Well, maybe there's different lashonis here in Rashi. Maybe somebody was hiding in the house that we didn't know about. Or for the other lashon, the roya was always in the house, but maybe we should be chayshid. In this case, we should be chayshid the roya.
Second shooter.
Yeah. Kamashma, that we're not chayish for such a case. Kamashma lan. Vehilchita, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So we're paskening over here. We said like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, in which case, even, as long as it's not the same guy, even beno ubito, you're saying yochet Rav Shimon Gamliel, afil beno ubito, which is how Rav Nachman passes. But you should know that does not include his wife. You can trust his kids, but not his wife. My taima ishto kegufo dami. That's not considered to be somebody else. Omali Rav Papala Abaye, according to Rabbi Meir, who holds it a chashud al adavar lo dano velo meido. But remember, Rabbi Meir's shita is that if a person is chashud on one mitzvah in the Torah, he is considered to be chashud the kol ha-Torah kula. According to this kayanim, are puzzle for witnesses. They're puzzle for dayanut. And I mean, it just happens to be that the Torah did point out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Bochar Hashem Elokecha L'Shorso L'Vorech B'Shem Hashem V'al P'im Yeh Kol Riv V'Kol Nega. But Rabbi Meir has decided that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bechira, we should ignore, and we should look at the Kayanim as a bunch of no-goodniks, throw them out, don't allow them into the courtroom. This is outrageous! V'Ktiv V'Al P'im Yeh Kol Riv V'Kol Nega. I mean, how is this possible? Nah, come on. Let's not misunderstand. Rabbi Meir never. You're putting together two completely different piskalot. Hachashud ledavar. Hachashud ledavar means that he's muchzik. That's the point. He's muchzik that he's over it. But I mean, what all Rabbi Meir is saying over here about kainim ba'bechor is that we're chayshid them. Not that they're muzik. We're going to be magzik them as chas v'shalom. That they're going to be aver and avera. He's saying for this purposes, look shorsha, yes, lachzikune, that we should be magzik them as being people that are aver. That's the meaning of a chashud of the barachad. Chashud of barachad doesn't mean he's chashud because we're chayshid. It means that we know that he does this. That's the point. You're confusing the word. It means two different things. In order for someone to be possible, it would have to be mukhzik that he actually did it, that we have witnesses, we know he did it. So a person who's choshet to be over on one avera, big matter, mum bekachim, such a person can't be a dayan. That's so crazy. But a person that you are worried, you know, until I know 100%, I don't want to trust him because he's a dayan to such an extent. Well, you're going to already say, oh, he's vadai, a person who's over isurim, chas v'shalom. Therefore, it has nothing to do with the question of bechor at all. Ma'aseh b'zachar sherechelim, Zakim. Misaro medulda. V'ro kazdor achad v'yamar, oh, mati vosho ze. Amulo, ah, that's a bechor. Enu nishkat alim ken ayabomum. Not al pigum v'tzaramazno. Bama aselif nechakamim v'itiru. After the way we're matirit, akashi tiro, halach v'tzirem ozne bechorim acherim. Then they answered it, because that was done on purpose. פעם אחת היו תינוקות משחקים בשדה וקשרו זנבי טלעים זה בזה There we have a bechor with a mum. What do we need the two cases? Tricha. Because Yashmin and Ovid Kochavim, I'd say, okay, lo atila misrach. But a cotton, if you're going to allow him to get away with it, atila misrach. Yashmin and Katan, shun lo atila achlufi begadol, but in Ovid Kochavim, people may think that even if somebody is wrong, doesn't do it, doesn't achlufi begadol. Emalo, therefore, tzrich. Omer of Chista, Omer of Katina, lo shana, the Omar lay, the words, well, we can't use it, Elohim kein hayabo mum, which is all passive. Avol imam alo, Elohim kein nasabo mum. Then you might as well have just told him. Come on, Omar lay, zeal of it be mum adami. Omar rather look at it, it's irrelevant. Mirbe. Memelo, mali haya, mali nasa, Elo nasa is also memelo, veloshna. What is that adding? Latuya mai? Latuya, even a groma ladat. And kosher shalol ladat, what's that coming to? That's including even where you were mesiach lefituma, but the kazdor never asked. Hayab b'chor wrote fo. You turn around, you give it a big kek bat of asabamum. Areza shochatim alavam repopel oshanu el shibato b'sha'at redifa. Aval ach redifa lo. Obviously. No, not obviously. Ma'odat heima. He's so angry. He's like in a fury. And sorry, the command kamashmalon. Igre amir amir of pablo tema b'shatra difa'in. Avashlo b'shatra difa'lo ala filu le'achara difa'nam. My time, tsa'arehu demitka. Amir of Yehuda, mutter la'til mum b'b'chor before it gets to kedushat b'chor. Konam she'etzel avir olam. Omar Rava, that would mean to put in a gedi in its ears, bu'udne, and in a sheep in its svatayim. Whereas others say, you know, if Lamaisi you could reach the Udne of an Imra, then it would also be Mutter, because it would prove that it was a breach delivery. Amar Rava, Ochal v'lo mechzei, Payu mechzei, that's considered to be a Mum Shabagaldwin. Rabbi Muma, my Kamashko, obviously, the brightest says that's Anina. Hachutina chitzoniot, shenifgemu, or shenigmumu, or the inner teeth, the pneumiot, which were ne'akru. Now, why in the world, my taima, are they considered to be a mum shebegalui? Nobody sees them. La mishum dechipoi, mirzi. Omer of Papa, yes, that's exactly what Rava was saying. Rava namik taima de matnita mefarish. My taima ne'akru avi muma. Mishum dechipoi, mirzi. Kol hamumina ru'uyin lavobi de adam ro'e Yisrael ne'emanim. Ro'im Kohanim Einam Ne'emanim. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ne'emanu Ashel Chevira, which is not Ne'eman Ashel Atzma. Rabbi Meir Omer, HaChashun Al Adavar, Lo Dano V'lo Mi'ida. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar explain the Mishnah in opposite ways. Chan Amar, Ro'ei Yisrael, who are working for Kohanim, are Ne'emanim. Why? Because the Logim are Lo Chashina. Ro'ei Kohanim, who are working for Yisrael, ain't their money, because Neymar Avon came into Tarach, the bay, lo shavik ledidivi oi v'lachrine. V'uadin, a coin, is not believed la coin, dechashinan la gomli, ota repshibim gomli ala Neymar, well, he's Neman Asha Chaviro, he's not Neman Asha Latzmo. Comes on Rabbi Meir la Neymar, no, achoshel ota davar, lo denova lo meido. Whereas Chanam Anana, roe Yisrael, for Yisrael, even though their kohanim are ne'emani. Because me'emar amav, what am I going to get out of it? L'shavik tzubim rabonim yav l'didi. Rohim who are kohanim, as long as it's Yisrael, they are not ne'emani. Because chashinan l'legima ve'koshikein, I'm sorry, rohim for kohanim, but they are Yisrael, are not ne'emani. The chashinan, for the good stake, it koshikein a kohen l'kohen de lo. The Chashinan legomim as well as the legim. Comes along Rabbi Shimon Lameimar, Neman Ashel Chaviro, and a Neman only where you stand to really gain Ashel Atzmo. Comes along Rabbi Meir to say, Achoshel al Adavar, totally. Lo dano velo me'ido. So, Bish Leim Alaman Diamar, Ro'ei Yisrael, even though they're calling him in Neimanim, that would explain why Rabbi Meir is arguing with everybody. So, I ended up the Rabbi Meir Lameimar, Achoshel al Adavar, Lo dano v'lo miyado. But according to Rabbi Yomar, roi kohanim, who are working the Beit Yisrael in an neamani. So he's not saying anything different than Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir hanatana kama? No, of course not. He could be now Rabbi Yeshua ben Kafusoi. Because Rabbi Yeshua ben Kafusoi, Tanya, Bechor, Bekohen, Tzor, Shnaim, and Ashukla, you don't love, but that's even if they're Kohanim. Whereas according to Rabbi Meir, forget it. It doesn't matter whether they're Minashuk or not. They're never believed. Rabbi Shimon Galmiel, even the no, if he'll be told, Rabbi Yosef, no. B'nei Beito, afil ha-sarave, B'nei Beito, and me'i den alam. Anyway, Kaman Razod, Yom Rav Chis, Tom Rav Katina, Sofek Bechor, Shinolad Be Yisrael, Tzor, Shnaim, and Ashukla, Yidalam, that would be like Rabbi Yeshua ben Kafusoi. Rabbi Nachman says, no. When it comes to Yisrael, there's no chashash at all. Even the balim can be made. Because if you don't hold that, Yilote Mahachi Maaser, according to Rabbi Meir, could never be eaten. Mi Meir Alat Nach Maaser. For their body name, the boy shall be mumma, bekula yedra. Okay, but a Suffolk Bechor, Libet the Rabbi Meir, who would be made on it? Vachi Tema, maybe anachin army, let lay takanta. No. Because it says beferish, Hatznan Shai Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Shechalifav Biat Kohen Batur Men Matanot. Rabbi Meir Mechayev. How could he be Mechayev Matanot if he never shecht it? Elosh Ma'amin Abali Medin Alav. Why? Because that's what I'm saying. Kohanim and only Kohanim Uda Chashidei Amumi. Yisrael or not Chashidei Amumi. Itmar Nachman Amar Alok Rav Shem Gamliel. That even Bnei Beito. Rabbi Omar. Halakha k'Rabbi Yosi, and that Bnei Beito are never ne'eman. Mi Amar Rava Achi, Amar Rava Ba'alav, Omeidim Anu Bachutz, if the Bechor is nichva shalem into the house and comes out limping, v'yotze chavul, you can still be made. No, he means not the Baal, he means the whole family. Kol Baalim Omeidim Bachutz. V'lo chashina, tzayachi ma'la me'ma, who is there left to be chashin? Nu, Ami ma'al detema, Nechash lechshada. It's a very suspicious looking case. Kabash malan. Ve'ilchatak Rabshim Gamliel, which would mean dafka, but no bito is believed, but ishto, even Rabshim Gamliel wouldn't go so far. My time ishto ki gufo dami. Omer lef popol abaya, and according to Rabbi Meir, the Omer hachashud al levar lo dano v'lo mido. And furthermore, Rabbi Meir holds that Kashrut HaDover Echad is Kashrut HaKol HaTarakula. So according to that, Kohanim are not allowed to be Dayanim, they're not allowed to be Edim. That's crazy. So Al-Khinami Lodayna Dina, doesn't the Torah say, Al-Piyam Yeko Riva Kol Nega, we're going to make a Takona to make the very choice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu unusable? Ah, come on, man. Amar, the Omar, Rabbi Meir, Lechshosha, he's not saying Lachzukina. Lachzukina mi Omar.